Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring, and my handsome husband decided that today would be the day for me to solo it. So, and you'll see why in a minute, but our Do Not Fear scripture for July 4th, 2023 is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Great start for the day. Okay, as my husband likes to tell everybody, I was born on the 4th of July. He takes great pleasure in making sure that the entire country honors me with fireworks, parades, and people going on picnics. And the truth of the matter is, I do have a deep love for this country. I was not born on the 4th of July by accident. Matter of fact, in 2011, I preached a sermon at the Wisdom Center women's meeting for Dr. Mike Murdoch entitled, "How to Make America Great Again." This was my title long before Donald Trump ever ran for president and made the catchphrase, "Make America Great Again." Indeed, I think God wants America great again, and he's not through with this country. It's no myth, it is a proven fact that the United States of America would not even exist if it were not for God. That would seem like a bold statement, but there's volumes of historical facts to back it up. So this teaching is going to be probably a multi-part work. Since we're about to celebrate, or we are celebrating today, the 247th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence, the teaching is going to be, well, part history and part call to action, because we are no longer one nation under God. The United States, however, is and has always been a country like no other. Former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher of Great Britain once said, "Europe was created by history, America by philosophy." There are so many facts as to how God was directly involved in our country's birth that I'm going to only go over five. The first one is this: the United States became a haven for religious freedom. The majority of our first settlers came over to find religious freedoms they could not enjoy in their own countries. European countries not only had national governments, each had a national religion, and you were required to be a part of it. That is why the principle of separation of church and state was so adamantly and widely emphasized by our founding fathers. You see, in Europe, the country was you were required as part of that country to accept the national religion as part of your national government and to serve it. The two were not separated, which is why Thomas Jefferson's famous quote, "For the calling of the separation of church and state," means exactly that, that a statement unwillingly has been used now to outlaw Christianity from our government when the intent was to make sure the U.S. would always allow the freedom of religion, not the exclusion of it. As just one example, William Penn was imprisoned in the Tower of London for becoming a Quaker instead of adhering to the accepted Anglican religion of England. But as part of a repayment of a debt owed to his deceased father by King Charles II, he was given a charter to the New World for land which is now called Pennsylvania. Penn's colony, as it was, was a holy experiment. It accepted Mennonites, Amish, Catholics and Jews. It was a safe haven for persecuted families fleeing Europe for their religious beliefs. Indeed, those who lived in Penn's colony went so far as to treat the Native Americans with respect and fairness. They were the only place where the American Indian refused to attack. In keeping with the position on Christian tolerance, he named the city Philadelphia, which is Greek for brotherly love. Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 3 says this: Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remembering those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remembering also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. I might go on to say that during that time, the Quakers actually developed a prison reform that was just monumental in terms of turning prisoners around at that point. But let me go on. Number two, God protected and even aided the Continental Army during the War of Independence. There were a number of incidences in George Washington's life alone that showed God intervened to allow him to influence his country as commander of the Revolutionary troops and later as our first president. While serving under British General William Braddock during the French and Indian War, Braddock, along with every officer on horseback, was killed except 22-year-old Colonel George Washington, who later writes his brother to refute the report of his demise. Washington stated in part in the letter to his brother, "But by the all-powerful dispensation of providence," which is a way of referring to God, "I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectations, for I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot from under me, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side of me." In 1776, after declaring our independence, the British sent an enormous army to squash the rebellion, and they almost did. In what was the first and largest battle in the Revolutionary War, the British had Washington and his entire army trapped between Brooklyn Heights, New York, and the sea. In order to save his men and the cause, Washington desperately ordered an evacuation across the East River to Manhattan Island in the darkness of night. But at daybreak, half of the American troops were still hiding in trenches, waiting to cross to safety. Even as the sun rose, there also rose a dense fog over the river. Yet the sun refused to burn off the fog, and the river remained covered until every man escaped. Afterwards, it suddenly lifted and was gone. This event in the summer of 1776 was not the only incident in which God miraculously intervened on behalf of the country. By August 1778, Washington wrote, "The hand of Providence has been so conspicuous in all this, the course of the war, that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith." You know, I myself was reminded of Joshua 10:13. I'm reading it from the New International Version, says, "And so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day." That was Providence in the American Revolution, just like we can read in the Bible in Joshua. Wow. Third, God was integral in our Constitution and in the writing of the Constitution. After the lengthy Revolutionary War was over, there was still the overwhelming task of taking 13 various sized and very independent-minded colonies and uniting them in a way that each would be willing to give up their previous independence and submit to a centralized government. You've got to remember that the overreaching of government in private affairs of men was the main reason why many of them had left Europe in the first place. Over 10 years later, on May 25th of 1787, at a constitutional convention with delegates from every colony present, they were supposed to be hammering out a workable constitution, but things were not going well at all. The smaller colonies, or states at this point, were pitted against the larger states, each wanting fair representation. The larger states wanted more say because they represented more people, but the smaller states saw that what they were doing as a way of being overrun by the power of the larger states. So in June, some delegates having already returned home because of the hopeless deadlock that was coming up in trying to hammer out this constitution that could hold really 13 stubbornly independent states together. On June 28th, Benjamin Franklin, being the elder and highly respected statesman at age 81, addressed the assembly. Now, George Washington had been elected as the chairman of the assembly, so there is a portion of I want to read a portion of Benjamin Franklin's speech. Understanding that when speaking to the meeting, everyone was directed at the chair, and of course, George Washington was the chair at that point. But this is what Benjamin Franklin had to say. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of thus truth, that God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his nose, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" He goes on to quote Psalm 127:1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." Although this is just a small section of his dialogue, if you read history books today, you are unfortunately presented with a consensus of the new revisionist historians that say, well, Ben Franklin never believed in God at all. Yet, if you read any of his speeches, you find that that is hardly the truth. Anyway, the point being, this speech led to the convention inviting God to take control of their sessions. Even today, the U.S. House and Senate still have a resident chaplain who opens each session with prayer. Don't know how much longer that will last. The real difference between the clergy then and too many of clergy today is their commitment to their beliefs. As the 4th of July approached, the delegates gathered to hear a sermon that might not have singed the hair off their heads, but it certainly dealt very severely with their consciences. And from that point on, they began to make progress in writing the U.S. Constitution that we enjoy today. Wow, I just have so much more to say. I hope that you've enjoyed this minor history lesson. We haven't quite gotten through. But if you'll join me tomorrow, I'm going to see what I can do about finishing it up. And I just hope that you've enjoyed this. It's a real labor of love for me. And I hope you have the best 4th ever. And if you've enjoyed it, well, you can go to haroldherring.com, click sow a seed, and just do what the Lord says. That's all we ever ask. Until tomorrow morning, and I really hope that you will join me again. God bless you, happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. You have just have a glorious 4th of July. I plan on doing it myself. God bless you, and we appreciate you and love you so much.